CLNS Media Patriots Roundtable. I am one of your co-hosts, Nick Qualia, here with Marvazan. No Mike this week. Mike is recovering from some knee issues. So no Mike this week, just me and Marv. You know, obviously, Patriots offseason now. If the Pro Bowl was any good, we could have talked about that, but the Pro Bowl sucked. Did you watch any of that?
I haven't watched a Pro Bowl ever in my life.
I put it on for Mac. I wanted to see Mac Jones play out there.
I saw him hit the gritty.
He did. He hit the gritty on a play that was blown dead. Controversial whether or not he knew it was blown dead. He threw a strike to Hunter Renfro in the back of the end zone. Nice throw. Don't know how well people were playing defense there at that point. But regardless, 95-yard drive, whatever, pretty cool. Mac Jones, I think he won the Pro Bowl overall. People on social media, it seems like from all fan bases, love Mac now. And ever since he hit the gritty, people were excited.
He showed a little personality. That's what I wanted to see from him in general, too. Like, you know, be yourself. He seemed very, I don't know, calculated in how he wanted to answer everything and really uptight. And I get it, being a rookie, especially being a quarterback rookie leading your team, you don't want to F anything up.
That ended being the Patriots. Like, we saw Tom Brady for 20 years. Tom Brady all of a sudden got a personality when he went to Tampa Bay.
Very true. Very, very, very true. But I don't know. Brady didn't seem robotic to me. And it just felt very robotic with Mac Jones. It was good to see him laughing and hanging out with players. And I know he does that in the locker room. But I just want him to show the fans more of that as well.
Yeah. So he's got a personality. He's going to get better. Listen, I was thinking about this today. We have a quarterback. And I'm watching what the Bengals are doing. It gives me excitement for the Patriots' future because the Patriots are going to be right back in this. We've got a quarterback here with Mac Jones, I think. And he's going to get us there eventually at some point, hopefully. So, anyway, onto the main topics of the show. Brian Flores, not former defensive coordinator for the Patriots because he was never given that role, although he should have been given that role, the name at least. Brian Flores suing the NFL. For, you know, basically not giving him a fair shake, right? The way we were before we hopped on the show, we were trying to, you know, really there's so much information here, trying to put together everything, and that's basically what it boils down to is they didn't give him a fair shot. And shout out Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is the reason why he knows he wasn't given a fair shot. Bill Belichick going classic old guy. It doesn't text like an old guy. Texts like a young chipper dude. He's texting Brian, who he thinks is Brian Daboll. Congratulating him. Congrats, coach, blah, blah, blah. And Brian Flores eventually is like, wait, coach, which Brian are you talking to? And then he said, profane F word, something along the lines of I F this up. So he basically told Brian Flores, who at that point hadn't even had his interview yet. I believe his interview was 2 days away. So at this point, Brian Flores already knows he's going to do an interview that literally he's not going to get the job. They've already decided who's getting the job. And what does that show? They're appeasing the Rooney Rule by having Flores in before they make the announcement. So, I mean, I want to ask the question, like, is this a valid argument for him? But yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
It's crazy because obviously, look, we all know that the Rooney Rule is bullshit. It's BS. We know why it was made for. It was to make sure that, okay, the NFL has no black coaches. Let's create a rule where they start to, you know, they have to interview black coaches. But at the end of the day, if these owners and general managers have their eyes set on somebody, they'll do whatever. Sure, if you want us to take an interview, we can. But it doesn't really matter because we're going to choose our guy. That's why I never thought the Rooney Rule really had any sense to it because it doesn't matter.
Sorry. In theory, it makes sense, right? Like in theory, it seems like it would make sense, but like when you put it into action, it doesn't. There's obvious, as we could see, there's obvious ways to just appease the rule and not really have any intention of hiring Brian Flores, who, by the way, after he was fired from Miami, should have been the number one head coach prospect out there. The fact that he doesn't have
that was going to happen.
The fact that he wasn't just swooped up like that is bananas.
And then in the lawsuit, he brings up how when he was trying to become a head coach prior to Miami, going to Denver's vacant slot. I don't know if you saw this. You read this part of the lawsuit, Nick. When he was going to the Denver interview, John Elway and all the managers came in late. He could tell that they were out late. They were out the night before drinking. They didn't really care. And it's like, how could you do that? When he said they already knew, you know, what candidate they had. And so they blew off Brian Flores pretty much in that interview, knowing that they weren't going to hire him anyways. Obviously, the Broncos have come out and denied those type of accusations. And everyone's been denying these accusations to the best of their abilities. But it just shows that these are the struggles that Black coaches have been going through for a long time. And it's always been known. But once you get caught, like that Bill Belichick text says it all. Bill Belichick has intel on whether someone has a job or not. And that's just one person. Bill Belichick knows. That means there's probably several head coaches or GMs that know about what was going on. And Bill Belichick was congratulating one of his guys, saying, hey, man, I heard you got the job. Do you want it? Blah, 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 blah. There's so much that goes behind the scenes, and now it's getting shed to light. And, you know, what Brian Flores is doing is huge. It's commendable because if you think about it, Nick, it's going to be really hard for him to get a job.
He's risking his career by doing.
And he knew that going in. He knows that if I'm going to put this lawsuit in, there's a chance I might not coach anymore at the highest level. And it's really unfortunate. But he's going to be breaking the walls for many to come after him. And I'm inspired by it.
The NFL messed this up too. By the way, they responded. Like they responded within. It seemed like within minutes. Of this happening. Like what? There was
deflection.
Yeah, there was no reason for them to respond that quickly. Like if you're going to look into it, you didn't look into it within that span of time. Look into it. Actually do. And that's the problem with the NFL and most of these leagues is when they do, I mean, hell, we basically just saw it with this new information about Deflategate. Can't believe we're talking about that in 2022, but the NFL conducts their own investigations and then goes, hey, look at that. We're not wrong. Like the way they came out so quickly, it didn't make any sense for them on that standpoint. And just the Rooney rule again, like in theory, that makes sense. It makes sense. In theory, the rule makes sense, but there's so many ways, as we see here, to just get around it and to just ignore it. Brian Daboll was their guy, and they were bringing in Brian Flores just to appease the Rooney rule. Brian Flores, though, my main question here, or not my main question, but a question here for you here is, do you think Brian Flores gets another job? Because personally, I think he showed that he's such a good head coach that if another job opens up, especially a job with a team that's defensive-minded, do you think he gets another job? Because I would love to see Brian Flores get another head coaching job, obviously, but if he wants to come back to the Patriots and be defensive coordinator, maybe potential future head coach after Bill hangs it up, Josh McDaniels is gone. Bring him in.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this, Nick. I'm really struggling with this because, you know, they say that NFL is a brotherhood, right?
Yep.
But you know where the real brotherhood is? It's within the owners.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's where the brotherhood is. So, look, you attack one of ours, most likely not going to bring you in because if – for example, the owner, I don't know his name, the owner for the Giants, but he's probably close with a lot of the other owners in the NFL. And he, you know, they all talk, they all chat. And right now, Brian Flores seems like the enemy He's the guy who's attacking him. He's the one who's attacking the NFL for this lawsuit. And when you see situations like this, you just get blackballed. And they don't even look your way anymore due to the fact that there's this cloud hanging over you.
I think and you're right. It's John Mara. John Mara, who's one John of the Mara. Guys, one of the old guys.
And he's it's tough. Like, if you were to do something like this with a Robert Kraft or Jerry Jones, like, you know, guys with real status in the NFL, it's really, really hard for me to see Brian Flores getting a job. I think he deserves one. I know he's still up and running for one more job, I believe. Is it the Bears that don't have a coach yet?
No, the Bears hired somebody. I think the final job that I think he was up for was Houston, which obviously was just filled by Lovie Smith.
That was just filled by Lovie Smith today. And look, Lovie Smith's a great guy, but I think Brian Flores should have beat out Lovie Smith for that head coaching job.
Brian Flores should have a job. Brian Flores should still be in Miami. He shouldn't have been fired.
Yeah, the firing was crazy in itself. The firing was ridiculous in itself. And then for him to have to go through all of this is, man, it's going to be ugly. It's going to start to get ugly. And you brought up the NFL and how they were just on the defense to start off, right? Right away, they had their statements. And it's like, if you were the NFL, be smart about this. Acknowledge what's going on. No one's saying you have to admit, but acknowledge, hey, we understand that there's one active NFL coach, one active black NFL coach at the moment when the league is made up of 70% of African-American. We acknowledge that, and we have to do better. However, we don't believe that, da 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 da. But acknowledge what's going on. You have these helmets that say stop hate and end racism and we're all together. All these messages that your PR team does. But when the lawsuit comes at you, now your hands are up and you're acting like there's nothing to see here.
Well, and you brought up the ownerhood. You brought up the brotherhood between the ownership. And I mean, just like look at how they protect Dan Snyder. That guy, if you really have morals, NFL, if the NFL owners actually had a set of balls and a set of morals, you would say, hey, sell this team, get out of here, Dan Snyder. That guy is a scumbag. We know he's a scumbag at this point. And you really don't, unless I miss something, you don't hear other NFL owners say anything about it. You don't hear other NFL owners condemn him. You don't. And like, it's sometimes it appears like they really don't care. It seems like they care. I mean, it's obvious. They care about the public image more than anything else.
I said they care. At the end of the day, it's all about the cheddar, man.
It's all
as long as the money's moving, they don't see anything else.
No, you're right. And I mean, Brian Flores, and this is obviously, like you said, it's going to be developing. There's going to be a lot more here. This clearly isn't over, but I'm interested to see where this goes. I'm interested to see if this is going to actually produce any sort of change, because it feels like a point that we're spinning our tires here, you know? And I want to see if this, like, shout out to Brian Flores. He's got the balls to stand up to the NFL. And like we've said, he is risking the potential chance that he's not going to get another head coaching job when he is well-deserved of another head coaching job. He didn't get fired for lack of performance. He got fired for disagreements within the organization. A guy like Josh McDaniels got fired first for lack of performance. Brian Flores. Yeah, okay. Hey, he's back down in Vegas now. He's getting another shot. But if Josh McDaniels gets another shot, Brian Flores should have a shot. Now,
and another thing that's come out with this lawsuit was the Stephen Ross saying he'll give him $100K every time he loses a game. Like, what the hell, bro?
Are these people,
Hugh Jackson came out and said the same thing with Cleveland. It's gonna get messy, Nick.
It just doesn't make any sense to me that these people are smart so we think, and they've got all this money. Because you're making these dumb decisions. Of course that's going to come out eventually. Of course, if you're actively telling your guy that, like, hey, lose these games, here's $100,000, and then you burn him on the way out, you don't think that's going to come out?
Listen, bro. One thing, though, $100,000 is a lot of money. Brian Flores, man, I don't know. $100,000 is a lot of money, man. You want me to keep running it up the middle on third and long? I'm going to do it for that 100K. I don't know, man.
you remember that final week of Daniel Jones, third and ninth, sneaking it up the middle? Or whoever the quarterback was for the Giants sneaking it up the middle? I saw tweets after that with that video like, hey, if somebody's offering me $100,000 to lose, I'm running this every play.
$100,000, that adds up. $100K.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you lose? Oh, my God.
That's a commission. You're getting paid a base salary, and then you're getting commission.
Woo, that's a lot of money, man.
That's a ton of money. But this is going to develop, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this a lot more as we get into the offseason, and I am interested as hell to see where this thing goes. Do you have anything else on it before we move on?
No, that's about it for me.
All right.
There's one topic that comes to mind, though, but we'll get that in the next segment.
All right, before we move on, guys, the big game, we can't say the name, which I still don't understand, is finally here as we hit Super Sunday with the last game of the football season, and BetOnline has you covered. From odds, scores, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all things NFL betting in 2022. And it's not just football. BetOnline's basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC odds coverage is the best in the business. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. Head over to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to sign up in today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get started. The fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports and play your favorite games, BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, what'd you want to hit on?
Yeah, so I'm going to hit you in an audible because we didn't talk about this. But, Nick, there's a vacant coaching spot with the Patriots right now. Offensive coordinator. The other night, you know, I was just scrolling on Twitter and I almost threw up when I saw this name pop up.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yep. Adam freaking Gase. And then it just wouldn't stop. His name keeps popping up. And Nick, I tell you, I've never boycotted the Patriots. But boy, oh boy. I'll be pretty damn close if Adam Gase is offensive coordinator.
Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm not very well versed on his offensive coordinator career, okay? But there are these guys who get these head coaching jobs, and it just turns out they're not cut out for the head coaching gig, right? Todd Bowles, for example. Todd Bowles, he's up with the Jets. Granted, the Jets stink no matter who you put there. But Todd Bowles is up there with the Jets. He gets fired, goes down to Tampa Bay, and he's got that Tampa Bay defense humming. He's the only reason why I've talked myself into a little bit Adam Gase being the offensive coordinator. The only reason. But what else do you do? Your guy left.
He had Peyton Manning. Like, yeah. Why is he still riding that coattail?
That's true.
Yeah, Peyton Manning, bro. Like, yeah. Sure, they had a crazy offensive year. But you had Peyton Manning.
Hey, you had a doughy, slow quarterback. That's the same thing you got here. Mac Jones said this weekend he's trying to cut back on the ice cream.
Oh,
he's
boy.
Got a doughy, slow quarterback here in New England. Maybe you can work with him. And Peyton had a ragdoll arm by the end of that thing. I'm not saying Mac has a ragdoll arm. But it's not that strong.
I think Bill O'Brien back in a heartbeat.
Exactly.
And I think Bill O'Brien would really know how to use Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry combo. Because when you think about the Gronk Hernandez years, Bill O'Brien was there as the coordinator. So I think, you know, everyone always brought up how, oh, my God, we're going to go back to this, you know, 12-man offense and have two tight ends, but that wasn't Josh McDaniels' system when he was here. Josh McDaniels wasn't here for the tight end sets. He was already gone. So I think Bill O'Brien can work some magic with Mac Jones and this offensive weapons that we have if we bring him back.
No, I totally agree. And that's what I wanted you to say when I was asking about the other options, because he's the obvious answer. I don't know. Adam Gase, you got to have another name bouncing around, I guess. But, you know, he had success, but you're right. He had one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, which makes you look pretty damn good. But Bill O'Brien, not only did he have the two tight end set, but he had Mac Jones at Alabama. He's already worked with his quarterback. So it's not like he's walking into a new system, or he's not walking into a place with an unfamiliar quarterback. He knows his quarterback. He knows his strengths. He knows his weaknesses. If you can get Bill O'Brien, and I know a lot of people think he's a boob, but if you can get Bill O'Brien, get him. Bring his ass in here. You got two solid tight ends. Break Jonnu Smith out. Get him in.
I like it.
I don't want to see Adam Gase either. I really don't. I'll talk myself into it because that's what I'm good at doing. I can talk myself into anything. But if you have the chance, if Bill O'Brien says, hey, I'll come back, do it. Just please do it. He's familiar with it.
I'll take it. No Adam Gase, and we good money on this side.
Yeah. You want to talk about Odell, what he said?
Yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr. So, reading directly from our guy Evan Lazar's tweet, Odell saying he was, quote, very, very close to signing with the Patriots midseason as a free agent. You know what that means. He's a free agent this offseason. The buzz is going to be here. If he wins a Super Bowl, well, then great. I have no idea what the Rams cap situation is over there, but Odell has shown that he still has juice in the tank. Sign him. Bring him in. Give Mac a number one.
Yeah, I mean, Odell fits perfectly with the Rams because he doesn't have to be that guy. They have Cooper Kupp.
That's true.
You know, and he can really take on any second corner in this league. He's no longer the Odell of old that in those giant years. Like, people always talk about Odell and bring up the catch. Odell was a hell of a wide receiver. He was top three, top five wide receiver in those times. He was unbelievable. He's no longer that. He's no longer that guy. Injuries have definitely piled up on him, but he's still a really good wide receiver. And he would change the dynamic of this wide receiver group having Odell there. So if he's a free agent, like you said, Nick, yes, I think the Patriots should go after him. And the interest is obviously still there to work with Bill Belichick. Mac Jones showed enough the past years to say he's a guy in this league. So I like it. I know they're going to be going. Names are going to come out. We're going to be going after guys like Calvin Ridley, Odell.
If you can get Calvin Ridley, that's the guy that you should get. No, he's about to. I don't even know if he's in his prime yet. Get that guy. If you're going to get anybody, get that guy.
Ridley would be very special. Young, dynamic wide receiver. Don't really understand what happened with Atlanta. He left for
Metro. Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know what happened there, but Calvin Ridley would be perfect for this team as well.
Yeah.
Something dynamic.
Give him a playmaker. Give him something. Because, like, these pieces are good, but the problem with the Patriots receivers right now, and you can say this especially with Kendrick Bourne taking the big step that he did. Like, Kendrick Bourne is awesome. I'm so glad we have Kendrick Bourne. But this group that you currently have, they are really good pieces if you have that over-the-top number one guy, and then everybody else follows suit behind him. So,
absolutely.
If you can get them, this offense, they could hum next year. Then you got to fix the defense. That's another conversation. We got anything else? We're ready to wrap up.
That's it for me, man.
All right. CLNS Media Patriots Roundtable presented by our friends over at betonline.ag. Guys, it is Nick Qualia and Marv Azan. We're going to talk to you next week following the Super Bowl, not day of, day after. But whatever. Again, Nick Qualia, Marv Azan, guys. We will talk to you next week. Thank you for watching, and thank you for listening.
Peace.